I'm about to show you something extremely controversial. It's even illegal in the state of Israel to obtain this. And if you do obtain it, it's illegal to show it and or talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, my DNA. Now, I bet you thought it was going to be a lot crazier than that, right? Now, you might ask yourself, why is it illegal to obtain this in the state of Israel? Because it proves through your DNA that Jews around the world have no ancestral ties to the land of Israel. Because it proves through your DNA that Jews around the world have no ancestral ties to the land of Israel.
We Jews have been in the land of Israel since the times of biblical Joshua.
Who is we? No, really, who is we? You live in Israel, so I don't expect you to be able to provide genetic or ancestral receipts for your claims about us Jews, because those kinds of receipts are illegal in Israel without a court order and other special permissions. The Jerusalem Post explains, such a thing cannot exist as kits sold directly to the public, going on to say that they have possible effects on subjects and their families. Furthermore, the national implications of these tests could hold or affect, nice grammar, Jerusalem Post, could hold or affect with Israel being a government-recognized Jewish state. Don't you just love when they say the quiet parts out loud? But since they won't let you get receipts for us Jews, I brought my own. Wow. So I, an Ashkenazi, have no genetic or ancestral ties to the region of historic Palestine. And yet Israel still claims it's my homeland, which I could move to and become a citizen of under the ironically named Law of Return.
Have you heard of the Kuzavim?
Yeah, that's us. That's me, actually.
Okay, so what is your... this is a question that comes from outside of Israel. What is your opinion about the theory that Ashkenazim came from Kuzavi?
It seems irrelevant. It's quite obvious that white Jewish people, Ashkenazim from Europe, are not genetically, as much as I can tell, I'm not an expert, but they don't look the same like Arab Jews, people that came from Arab countries, and Ethiopians. I don't think there's a lot of, there may be some genetic relations, but there's a lot of genetic differences, and any theory that says that we're not genetically come from the same ancestors makes sense to me.
Ashkenaz is one of the Gentile nations. Now, 80 to 85% of today's so-called Jewry, those who claim to be Jews in the world today, 80 to 85% of them are what is known as Ashkenazi Jews. And an Ashkenazi Jew is so named because he primarily descends from this guy in the Bible named Ashkenaz, which is clearly listed as one of the Gentile nations. Now, the reason for this is that there was a nation of people who were Europeans, white people, known as the Khazars. And in the 8th century after Christ, the whole nation of the Khazars turned unto Judaism. They converted to the religion of Judaism. Of course, it was a false Christ-rejecting religion. And for a few hundred years, the Empire of the Khazars was a power in Eastern Europe, and they followed the religion of Judaism. But eventually, they were defeated by the Russians, and they were scattered into Eastern Europe. And so a lot of the Eastern European Jews today are the descendants of the Khazars.
And so a lot of the Eastern European Jews today are the descendants of the Khazars.
I was today years old when I found out.
Ashkenaz, the eldest of the three sons of Gomer, the son of Japhet, and the name of a kingdom, referencing these same verses, most likely it was the Scythian kingdom. And then after a few hundred years, they're lost from history. So they have zero to do with Israel, zero to do with Jewish people, zero to do with Ashkenazi Jews today. Zero. You say, well, where did the name Ashkenazi came from? So a little over 1,000 years ago, as Jewish people scattered around the world, had now emigrated in Europe and now were living in the Rhineland in Germany. They looked at the name Gomer in Genesis 10, and they connected Gomer with Germany, so they took on the identity of the name Ashkenaz. It has nothing to do with Ashkenaz in the Bible, which is a descendant of Yafet. It's just a name that was taken. Okay, it's that simple. Just like my last name, Brown, doesn't refer to the color of my skin or anything else. It was shortened from a Russian name when my grandfather came over at Ellis Island. The name got shortened to Brown. It's just a name. That's all it is. So the idea that Ashkenazi Jews are descended from Yafet is a myth, 100% false, zero truth to it. Just study the history, look into it, check the Bible dictionaries, encyclopedias, the archaeological works, you'll find the exact same thing.
Key takeaway points and food for thought. 1. The original Jews are defined as those from the line of Judah. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob. 2. Ashkenaz was the first son of Gomer and is from the line of Japheth and not Shem. 3. They labeled themselves as Ashkenaz but claimed to be from the line of Shem. If they knew their history, would this error have been made? 4. The term Ashkenazi Jew is historically incorrect, as previously mentioned Ashkenaz and Judah are from separate lineages. 5. They self-identified as Ashkenazi and were not labeled as such. Due to the confusion in establishing their true lineage, one could suggest this has been a ploy to hijack the identity of an already established people. 6. It's claimed that the Ashkenazi people have been lost to history. But, are people ever lost to history, or are they invaded, conquered and assimilated?
I'm a Palestinian. From 21 until 48, I carried a Palestinian passport. There was no such thing in this area as Jews and Arabs and Palestinians. There were Jews and Arabs.
You deny that there was a Palestine Arab people before, but there is now a Palestine liberation movement. The history of liberation movements are that they grow. Won't this one grow and become in fact, your biggest enemy?
I don't say there are no Palestinians, but I say there is no such thing as a distinct Palestinian people of all the Palestinians who live in Jordan. Why have the Palestinians in the West Bank become more Palestinians since the 5th of June 67 than they were before? Why didn't they set up a Palestinian country in addition to Jordan? Supposing your premise is right, then what should they have done? They should have set up another independent Palestine and fought from there. They didn't do that. They adopted the fact that they are in Jordan. They've adopted the Jordanian citizens. They are the majority in Jordan. They are in parliament. They are in government. What has happened since? Why have they become more Palestinian conscious since the war of 67?
This feels like Christmas morning. I got a 23andMe ancestry and health kit. I think that I kind of want to start with the ancestry side. And it says ancestry composition. I'm 49.9% Ashkenazi Jewish. That's not a huge surprise to me at all, since my mom's side of the family is completely Jewish. My dad's side is not Jewish though. So let's go to there. Let's see what's going on. This is like, I feel really like on the spot. Okay, so I'm 100% European, which again is not a huge surprise to me, but it's just funny seeing it like that. I'm 49% Ashkenazi Jew, totally. British and Irish and German and French, a little bit Scandinavian, Northeastern European. Yeah, it's not super exciting, but I kind of know all of that information. I didn't realize how much of my family was from Germany though, so that's interesting. So let's see if I can get more information on this. It's funny, like I know where like my relatives and stuff came from, but it's kind of fun to see it broken down like this. Yeah, totally not surprising having the British and Irish be pretty strong. The German is though, so I wonder who came from Germany. I wonder if it has to do with the Ashkenazi Jewish part of my family. No really Scandinavian, no Italian. Wow. Okay. It's pretty vague. It doesn't give you like, which it makes sense, but there's nothing really random in there. There's a tiny bit of East Asian and Native American. like the slightest. The first thing that they're telling me to do is do the late onset Alzheimer's disease. I do have some dementia in my family, so I wouldn't be super surprised if this was positive, but my heart's racing a little bit. I don't know. So I don't have the whatever, however you say that. So there's zero variants detected, which is, I guess, a positive thing. Cool. So Parkinson's disease. Let's open that guy up. I know that's like a very, so I have zero variants detected. So age-related macular degeneration. A variant detected, not likely at increased risk. I'm not totally sure what that totally means, but AMD, we're familiar with that condition, but we'll see. I'll do more research on this. Have a slightly increased risk of celiac disease, which I've actually been tested by, like I've gotten blood work and stuff done for celiac disease. And I definitely gluten is harder for me to digest, but yeah. Interesting.
Let's unravel the mysteries behind Ashkenazi genetics. Ashkenazi Jews are a Jewish diaspora population who formed in the Holy Roman Empire around 1,000 years ago. The total Ashkenazi population is estimated at 10 million people. Today, they live mostly in the United States as well as in Israel, where they represent over a third of the Jewish population. They are descended from Levantine Jews who mixed with native Europeans, mostly from Southern, but also from Eastern Europe. The combination of European and Levantine admixture makes Ashkenazi Jews genetically close to Southern Italians, Sicilians, Greek Islanders, or Maltese people. Using ancestral populations, Ashkenazi Jews can be modeled as being roughly 49% Anatolian Neolithic farmer, 24% steppe, 13% Natufian, and 9% Iranian Neolithic, with minor Caucasian, North African, and East Eurasian contributions. Get your custom DNA report today at world-genetics.com.
The results are in, y'all. And good news, I'm not from the Walmart discount section. First up, we are 50% Jewish. Woo! Yes, I did have a bat mitzvah. Next, we got 26% Indigenous Americans, aka Mexico, aka Aztec Warrior. Then we got 14% coming from Spain. Shout out to all those conquistadors. Then 3% Basque. Interesting. This is like the full little map thing they give you. And then I also get to see people I'm related to that I've never even heard about before. Kind of crazy, kind of cool, kind of scary.
So you know how in Israel there's a law that bans Israeli Jews from marrying Arabs, Palestinians, Muslims? And they say that this is based on the morale of their holy book, right? But I'm about to show you how this just goes to show that these people don't know the book. And really this law, like about everything else in their regime, is based in white supremacy, racism, and ultimately mid-20th century eugenics. Because the thing is that the most famous and beloved of the Israelites and the Israelite kings, they weren't purebloods. Solomon's mother was a Canaanite. David's grandmother was also a Canaanite, a Moabite to be specific. And a Moabite so famous, she got a whole book in the Bible named after her, the Book of Ruth. What's more is that Ruth and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, both of these women were widows. And the widow is the carrier of the greatest secret in alchemy. The Freemasons are going to be pretty pissed about me revealing this. But what we call the Philosopher's Stone is actually the widow's elixir. And the sons of the widow are the real heroes of humanity, which is why a Freemason is otherwise called the son of the widow. Also, hi, I'm Ilyan, and I wrote a PhD on political identity in Palestine and Israel. I also wrote a master's on alchemy and Jungian dream analysis. I know everything. And I've read all of Abraham's books, cover to cover, and some of them in their original language. I'm not from Israel or Palestine or anywhere else but the earth. I have no ethnicity, believe in no nation, and identify with nothing but humanity. And anyway, back to Ruth, whose book I encourage you to read because it's really short. But basically, Ruth lived with an Israelite woman named Naomi. She got married, her husband died, and eventually when Naomi was sending her and her sister back to her tribe, she decided to stay with Naomi because she loved her so much. She was like, please, Naomi, let me go with you and worship your God. Naomi approves, takes her back with her to Israel. She marries an Israelite and eventually becomes the grandmother of King David, a man after God's own heart. And then David, who's basically God's favorite ever. He has a whole harem of Israelite wives that he wins in battle and whatnot. He eventually falls in love with a Canaanite woman named Bathsheba. He sees Bathsheba and she is so beautiful, like man's cannot contain himself. So he sleeps with her even though she's married, and he has such a good time, like he cannot forget that. He wants some more, so he basically sends her husband out to battle and conspires to have him killed so that, you know, he can marry her in peace and have her have his babies. But this makes God angry, and he sends one of his prophets to tell David a whole fable with a moral lesson, which I can get into in another video because it's a super cute story. But basically the lesson is that, like, David, you literally have everything. You have a whole harem of wives, and this poor man, Uriah, had the one wife, and you took her away from him. That's so greedy, bro. And for that, I'ma punish you and unalive your first child with Bathsheba, because I know she's pregnant. But David repents, and God forgives him, and he keeps going. Bathsheba has another son, and his name is Solomon. And we all know that Solomon goes on to be, like, the king of kings. Solomon is bestowed the honor of building a temple for God, an honor that God did not give to David or anyone before Solomon, and hence the importance of Solomon's temple. The temple built by Hiram Abiff, the king of Tyre, who was also a widow's son, who's really the main character in Freemasonry, and the Bible's most famous alchemist, and who it is speculated was Solomon's relative. Because Yahweh says a lot of things throughout the Old Testament that you might think are just absolutely horrid. But even though he has a rep for doing what he says, he doesn't actually follow through on most of the stuff he says he's gonna do. Like, he repeatedly says throughout the Old Testament that no one is ever gonna remember the Canaanites, that the Israelites, they're gonna erase them, they're gonna eradicate them from the face of the earth, and no one is ever gonna hear about them again. And yet here we are, you and I, talking about them. And there goes Yahweh, one book later, picking a Canaanite's descendant to be his favorite king. Bro is a talker, okay? Half the stuff he says, if not more than half, doesn't come to pass. And the modern state of Israel, as we should all know by now, has modeled itself on European colonies, and specifically the French colony, and German tactics for apartheid. Specifically here, that in order for one to maintain a purity of race, which I also don't believe in because it's not scientific, laws need to be implemented to ban intermarriage. But a little bit of critical thinking will show you that if anybody can convert to a religion and then get married, is there any purity of blood being maintained here? And